You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
Well, hello, Dolly.
Hello, hello to you, Dolly. You're looking fine.
Thank you, Dolly. Yes, indeed. How's it going?
It's going good, as usual. Always entertained by the musings that you utter right before we go on the air.
Is that so?
A little ode to falafel and chickpeas before we went on the air.
Falafel is actually made of chickpeas.
Okay.
So, you know, anyway, I digress. I like falafel. I'm a big fan. It's a great snack, and you don't falafel after you eat it. Huh?
I don't know. I just like the way you just throw it. It's such a great non sequitur. You'd be like, okay, we're just about ready to go. Man, I love falafel.
Look, I can't help how my brain is, and it's not what you would call terribly well organized.
No,
my brain, no, not at all. So it's you know, it's tough. It's tough being me.
Did you get a chance to listen? Did you listen to the show from last week?
I did.
Did you notice that I did have a problem? My microphone for some reason got really loud. Like
I did notice,
like twice.
That, yes.
But the funny part was that one of the times it got really loud was right when I was making a joke where I said that your mother looked like a prostitute. So it sounded like I was really, really hitting home with that joke. And then you know what I think your mother looks like a man, you know, just screaming it at you. I want to apologize for what appeared to be just a really heinous attack on your mother, unnecessarily.
Yeah, like my poor old mother.
I'm just screaming like at the top of my lung.
Yeah, my sister who listens to the podcast. Hi, Morgan. And I was Skyping with her the other day. She goes, "Boo Ray has got to fix that microphone."
Well, it happened once. It only happened in the last show. So we'll see if it happens again this episode. And if it does, well, then I guess this goes in the garbage and I'll get another microphone. Mm-hmm. Or I will get one of the two that you have in your possession that belong to me.
But let's be honest, what's really the likelihood of that actually happening?
It's got to happen sooner or later. Well, September, when do we go? When do we do it live at Focus?
That's September.
Okay,
yeah,
so September, I'm definitely
getting 5 or 6 months, we're good to go.
Well, yeah. What we ought to do is like meet halfway between here and where we live, like, you know, like 45 minutes and 55 minutes each way for both of us. Find like a really nice little bar, and then we're like, we'll meet there, and then we could get together there and have a drink. And
I would love that.
Yeah.
Go ahead and email my studio manager. Yes. and I'll get you penciled in.
You do that. I'll have my people call your people.
Yeah, I've been having a very, very stressful couple of weeks.
Really?
Personal stuff, work stuff. There's just a lot going on. And I feel a little bit like not enough butter spread over too much toast.
Okay.
You know, just sort of real spread thin. And so I've got a new mantra that I'm working on.
A motto.
You know how people post those really dumb like inspirational memes.
Yes.
And you know, I think they're dumb. But this one,
me through the day. I couldn't make it through the day without, you know, hanging their baby or whatever.
Like a kitten hanging from a rope,
exactly.
Or yeah, you know, make Mondays your new Saturdays and, you know, good stuff like that. But it was one that said, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no.
Okay.
I love this, right? Like, if you're not completely all in on it, if you're not excited about the idea, just say no. Because my wife pointed out to me this week that I am a yes guy, that I say yes to everything.
Okay.
I don't like to say no.
Yeah.
And so that's it. I'm going to start saying no to stuff. What do you think? It's a good plan?
Yes, it's a great plan because I'm a no guy. I kind of live by that. When people ask, my first response is no. And then I'm like, okay, I've said no. Because here's the thing. It's much easier to go back after you say no and say yes than it is the other way around. If you say, someone says, can you do this? You go, no, I can't do that. And then later you think, you know what? I could do that and I'd like to do that. You call them up and go, hey, you know what? I can do that. They're like, oh, that's great. But if you just say yes to everything and then you come back later and go, you know, I kind of don't want to do that. Well, then you're an a-hole.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So my new philosophy is I'm just going to start saying no, like no to everything. It's like, do you want to catch up on that? No, absolutely not. Would you like to upsize your combo? No. All right. Would you please go change the baby's diaper? No.
No, it's that's not going to work.
No?
No?
Wait, I think I'm applying this wrong.
You have to change the diaper. That's just the thing. When you're a guy, if you get asked, you got to do it, period. Doesn't matter. There's no arguing that case.
Yeah, I suppose not, but whatever. It's not that bad. It's like, that's the thing that people worry about with babies, you know? It's like, oh, but all the diapers. And it's really, it's actually kind of convenient for the most part, with the exception of like a hideous blowout.
Right.
Diapers are, what's not convenient is when your child is potty trained and you have to stop to go to the bathroom every 30 minutes.
Yes.
And take them in there.
Yeah, because you can do the whole, you know, you're out or whatever, and you're like, oh, I think the baby just had a little thing there. Well, okay, well, I'll change that in a few minutes when we finish this conversation or whatever. But no, when you've got the potty trained toddler, then it's, you got to stop dinner and go take him to the bathroom. You don't have to stop dinner if the kid, you know, does one of the diaper. You're like, oh, he can last 10 more minutes. He's happy. I'll change him in the car.
Yeah, he's good. He's fine in his own
He's
filth.
Fine.
No problem.
He's fine. What's the
Not
problem?
Not a problem.
Yeah.
So, what's been going on in your life this week?
Nothing. Working and working. We're recording this on a Saturday. I have a wedding today, as a matter of fact. So, I'll be hitting the road for the beach, little beach wedding today in just a few. And that's it. Just been shooting a lot this week. A lot of beach stuff and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's good to stay busy, man. Yeah, we're, for some reason, I don't know what it is about this business, but there will be like long lulls of quiet. Like, we had a really quiet first couple of weeks of the month where we're just beating the bushes, and then all of a sudden it's an avalanche of stuff all comes in at the same time. Like, would my clients please space themselves out evenly so that I can get so I can get my handle on stuff.
Yeah, that happened to me. I had the week where I had nothing on the books. And I'm like, I had nothing the whole week. Oh, my God. My business is going down the toilet. And then on Monday, three different people called me and booked. One other person called. And next thing you know, my whole week is full of me scrambling to book these sessions and do these. And someone just ordered an album. And, you know, it's feast or famine. And as soon as you think it's famine, suddenly they hit you. If you could just rely on that, though, if you could just... Okay, yeah, I know. And you look at the calendar and you see there's nothing on it. If you could just be like, okay, but I'm sure something will happen, that'd be great. But you don't. You panic.
So what is it about certain dates too? Like this happens to us every year where we're going to England next month, and I'm doing a marketing class at the Newborn Photography Show in Coventry. And but leading up to that, that's the last really 2 days that we're there. We're going on a bit of a vacation. But we've gotten two massive conferences that inquired that are on the same day. Like, our two biggest jobs of the year so far, both inquired, and they're on the same over the same 2 days.
Can we not spread these things out a little bit?
And these are days when I'm going to be out of town.
Right, so you can't take either one of them. I have that happen. I'll have it in October. I'll have a bar mitzvah booked for a Saturday. Nothing else booked the rest of the month on Saturday. And then I'll get two more bar mitzvah requests for the same exact Saturday.
Oh, don't worry. I'm taking the jobs. I'm just, you know, paying people
paying
I
someone
work
else.
With. Very, yeah, paying someone else to shoot
yeah,
them.
Yeah, paying someone else to do them.
Well, we have regular people. This is part of our business plan, is to be scalable so that we don't have to shoot everything ourselves.
Right.
So I've got a couple of people that I trust to regularly shoot events and headshots for me at events, and so we are able to take it. But man, it's like right then they can't call and they can't schedule their conference when I'm in town. I'd really like to be there if I could. These are big jobs.
Yeah.
Oh well, I guess it's no big. Like, I'm complaining. Look, I've got work coming in, and I don't even have to go shoot.
That's true. Someone's listening, going, "Really? That's your problem? Is woe is me? Someone else has to go and make money for you."
No, this could be a problem, because if the people I send to do it screw it up.
I never feel comfortable. I mean, today we've got two weddings today, and I'm shooting one. And the girl who's been shooting for me for years is shooting the other. And I'm confident in her ability and everything, but I'm just never as confident as I am if I'm there. But even if I'm there, I mean, you come off the beach sometimes, and I always come off the beach and I'm like, oh, you know, you talk too much. That's my biggest problem. I never come off from a session thinking, oh, I did a bad job with the pictures. I always think, oh, I didn't give them a good enough experience. You know, I did a good job with the pictures, but they're getting in their car going, that guy was weird.
I should have talked more. I should have talked more.
My problem is I talk too much. I'm always like, I should have been more quiet. You know, like, I come off the beach one day and I was like with a couple doing an engagement session, and I got in my car and I thought, you know, I didn't ask them a single question about themselves. Not one.
Yeah.
Not a single question about themselves. Just talked about myself the whole time.
No, people like that about you.
I don't think they do. I'm not that interesting. But, you know, people like to hear it. People like questions about themselves. People like, hey, so where are you from? What do you do? How'd you meet? You know, the typical stuff. I didn't ask them nothing. No, just, you know, let me tell you about my cancer.
You know why? Yeah, do you know why you didn't ask them anything?
Why?
Because you don't care.
No, I really don't. I do. I do. I like to hear the stories, you know. The first question I always ask any couple with a wedding, as soon as we finish all the pro forma stuff, and now we're going to do the romantic, and we're walking out to the water, the first question I always ask is, so how did you guys meet? To see if there's a meet cute story, you know.
Well, that's like, you know, wedding photographer 101.
Yeah.
Right?
How did you meet? And when was the first time you had sex? Can you describe that in detail?
Oh, you haven't yet. Oh, good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you guys.
I think I've had that too. I have had at least one wedding that was that far religious that they had not had sex yet.
I've shot quite a few, and let me tell you something very special about these weddings. Shortest reception of all time. They want to get out of there so bad.
I'm surprised they don't just sneak off. Like, you know, when it's time for the introductions, they're coming in there and the hair's all messed up, his shirt's half out.
In the limo on the way to reception. Like, for some reason, at the very religious weddings, there's like a 3-hour gap between the ceremony and the reception. Can't figure out why. And they come in wearing different clothes.
The anointing of the water. Yeah, there's something going on. We don't know what. Hey, speaking of weddings, I saw a thing today on the website F-Stopper. Somebody wrote an interesting post, I thought, and the question it posed was, are stylized photo shoots hurting the wedding photography industry?
That's a good question. Oh, speaking of which, by the way, Style Me Pretty is shutting down,
yes,
right?
So we'll backtrack to that first. Style Me Pretty is shutting down. That's a big
surprise.
Which is
one of the biggest wedding blogs
around.
I mean, everybody who is a wedding photographer wants to be published on Style Me Pretty.
And how do you shut down when you don't pay for any of your content? If you're not paying for your content, because all the photographers are providing the content for free, so you're not paying for your content. Now, you must be paying some people to write, and you must be paying some people to get your message out to SEO, but I'm sure you got staff, don't get me wrong. But you're not paying anything for your photo stuff at all, and you and you're pretty successful and pretty popular, 1.5 million followers on Facebook, and you can't make it work. What does that say about, I don't know. I think it says a lot about Facebook. I think it says a lot about how being popular on Facebook doesn't equate into money, because Facebook's making the money off the advertising, not you.
Did they say why they're shutting down? Is it just sort of they're insolvent, or they're just tired of it? Because there's a really good taco place down the street from my house, and the owners owned it for 40 years, and they just decided to retire, and they just closed the restaurant.
Why wouldn't you sell it?
Dude, I have no idea. No idea. I'm just saying that, did they stop because they're like, this is overwhelming? It could be a life decision, or did they just suck at their job?
I'm not buying that because even if it was that sort of situation, they've got people who work for them, and who would be like, you know what, I'm tired, so I'm going to shut down. Y'all are all out of work. You know, no, I think they'd be like, no, we'll sell it at least so that maybe these people can continue to have jobs. Not to mention get a nice little chunk of money for my retirement, because if they're just quitting because they're done, did Stommy Pretty make them that much money? They don't want the extra. Who doesn't want more money? Who doesn't want to sell it and make more money?
Seems like with a brand that big that, you know, you could have just sold it off. Or at least, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
Unless you can't sell it off because it flat is not making any money. It's just
not
profitable.
I'm going to start squatting that domain. I'm waiting for that domain to expire. Hey, don't take that idea from me.
I would
me,
think somebody I'm, would, at the very least, that they could sell the domain.
Yeah. But there is a problem, though. People think their domains are worth way more than they actually are. Do you ever get emails about people wanting to sell you a domain?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, they're not worth that much anymore, and they're especially not worth that much anymore now that Facebook has become the portal by which everybody goes to a website. It doesn't matter what the domain name. You see a picture and something, I want to read that, and you click it. You don't know what website it is. You don't know what the web address is. So
I always look at the bottom.
But, you know, Facebook is screwing everybody. It really is. They're making all the money, and everyone's providing all the content for free. And it's really hurting. It's really hurting publishing. It's hurting journalism. It's hurting people like Style Me Pretty.
It's a really smart business model.
Yep.
it really is. Mm. Yeah, I mean, okay, so Style Me Pretty's gone. It's very sad. I saw a lot of wedding photographers kind of rejoicing. Because to your point earlier, they were the home of the styled shoot.
Yes, they really were the home of the stylized photo shoot. And I don't know, you know, I've never done a stylized photo. Have you ever done one?
I have. I've done one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did one.
You know, I am. I like the idea. Okay, great. I mean, as a photographer, you got to love the idea of, well, I'm going to have all the time in the world to get all these shots, and I'm going to have all the time in the world to work with this model that we have in a wedding dress. You know, where I want to shoot him during the time of day I want to shoot him and all of that. Now, I don't like the idea that everybody else who's there, the caterer, the cake person, all that, they've all got expectations that they want you to fulfill as a photographer, because everything's on the photographer at one of these things. You know, everybody comes together to promote themselves, but it's all really on the photographer. You know, the cake maker is not going to be hurt if the person who did the table decorations didn't do a good job. But everyone gets hurt if the photographer doesn't do a good job, because the whole purpose of this is to get marketing material for everybody who's involved, and the photographer is providing that. But
I've been out of the wedding business long enough to where I'm so happy we're talking about this, and it makes me so happy right now because I realize I haven't talked about planning a styled shoot in a really long time.
I've never done one. I've never been asked to do one, and you know, I just don't know that I would really. I don't know that I would like it that. I mean, if I was asked to do one, I'd probably do it because, well, you know, here's a planner who's asking me, and now I'm hoping this planner refers to me, and you've got a network. I get that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that they say, that they're hurting the photography industry, and there's some stuff. First of all, it gives unreasonable expectations to the brides, because everything at a stylized wedding photography shoot is going to be perfect. You know, you've got a model. The dress is perfect for her because everyone involved has provided their very best stuff, because that's what they want to showcase. Okay. So yes. That can make it very unrealistic for a budget bride, which is 95% of your brides, you know, because, and then they see this, and then they, and then when they go to the planner, or they go and they go, oh, and they show these pictures, this is what I want. Oh, this picture where every single table has a $95 floral arrangement on it. Well, that's no problem. You're gonna spend $1,500 on flowers. You know what? 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 My whole budget is only $10,000. You know, or whatever.
Well, it's sort of you know, I guess it's there's a lot of it that is fueled in Pinterest, especially in the last sort of 10 years. It's like getting wedding ideas. You know, if you ask anybody, most people what they use Pinterest for is to get ideas for stuff. I was on it today. I'm planning a shoot with a friend of mine later this month, who is the world. Natural beard champion. So he's got like a crazy awesome beard and lots of cool hats. Anyway, so we're going to photograph him. And so I basically started putting together a board for the shoot on Pinterest, you know, with ideas. And I'm, you know, and I know that a lot of brides do that with weddings. You've done a lot with Pinterest. They come to you with like, yes. Can you do this stupid picture or whatever?
Yeah. And then the other thing is that that this article said was that stylized sessions keep real weddings from being published, because so you don't get. I mean, and this has been a bone of contention for me for years, and especially with competition, is that I'm sorry, but every bride I shoot does not look like Cate Blanchett or you know, Nicole Kidman. You know, they look like real people, and they're in dresses that cost $150 or $200, not necessarily, you know, $2,000. And you're setting an expectation for these people that you can't meet by them looking at nothing but models. And also, that's all they ever see, because the stylized weddings are going to get published before the regular people.
We were when we were submitting stuff to, I remember, wedding blogs, they were really picky about the styled shoots, though. They got to the point where everybody was sending them styled shoots, because it's basically, it is kind of deceptive and hurtful too.
Right.
You know, well, I want that. And you go, well, you can't have that because you're not getting married in front of a castle in Scotland and spending $1 million. You can't.
Yeah, exactly. And then so, the other final thing they said, which is the one that, of course, that I really latch onto, is that stylized weddings don't prepare photographers for real weddings. And this is a concern for me, because I've met these people. I know these people. Who are beginning wedding photographers, and they will do two or three stylized shoots before they even have a wedding under their belt. And so now they have this portfolio of great stuff to show, and they've never done an actual wedding. And man, an actual wedding is not like a stylized shoot at all.
No,
time crunch is unbelievable, and you have no control over anything.
Yeah, I would say that it could give you a portfolio, and it's not a bad idea to shoot some stuff like that to add to your portfolio, but it basically makes you good at maybe portraits and photographing details, but it's not going to make you good at making sure you got your camera settings right to photograph a sparkler exit, or when she tosses the bouquet, or
a first dance, father-daughter, mother-son, bouquet.
Inside a really ugly hotel that's very poorly lit.
Yeah. You know? All the stuff that is, you know, make it or break it. If you miss this shot, there's no second shot chance at it, you know. And that's the stuff it gives you no practice at whatsoever. And your clients don't know that. They see the stylized stuff on your website, unless you have made it clear that it's stylized. And even if you have, they don't know. They're not, you know, they don't realize, oh, okay, stylized, whatever. I think the pictures are great. Oh my gosh. But just make sure, you know, make sure that they've got some actual experience working in a dark hotel or a dark church.
Man, I'm just looking up these images from the last style shoot I did. I did at the Pirate Museum in St. Augustine.
Right.
And we did a pirate themed wedding. And it's actually pretty cool. I'm like looking, I was like, man, I did some pretty cool pictures.
Yes, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember there was, you had a, with a chest of booty and all that kind of stuff.
It was a lot. Yeah. Man. Yeah, it was pretty
right.
cool.
But totally unrealistic that you could do that in an actual wedding.
No. It was for it was clickbait. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way you're doing that at an actual wedding.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But man, yeah, it was actually pretty cool. Yeah, all right. I can do this. I'm going to do a styled shoot right now. No, I'm not. Actually, it was so much work. It was a long, long day to get like 20 pictures
right.
or a blog post. Yeah, but you know. It's such a good like idea, but I mean, it can be such a waste of time, especially since every wedding photographer wants to do it. Can you imagine being a really good florist in town, answering the phone, going, "Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. You want me to do for like no? You want me to do it for free, right? Okay, all right. So you want me to make these really elaborate, and then okay,
right.
cool. I'm just gonna put you in line with the 20 other photographers who've called me this month.
Well, yeah, because the florist and the cake maker, more than anybody, is going to lose money on this deal.
Oh, absolutely.
The photographer's just going to lose time, but the flowers can't be used again.
No. And then and the cake, I don't even think that I'm trying to remember if the cake was a real cake or not. I think it was a fake cake.
I had a wedding with a fake cake.
Yeah,
I had a wedding with a fake
cake. I'm going to post these pictures that I've got. I found them on Pinterest, actually, from the wedding planner who we worked with on the shoot. I'll post that to the Facebook page. So
I thought the fake cake at the wedding was an interesting... You know, I'm like, okay, so this is where we're at now, that the symbolism of a wedding cake is now just a decoration for the wedding, and therefore you have to have that decoration for the wedding, but the actual cake itself doesn't have to actually be
really,
the cake.
We're really more pie, we're more pie people, you know, but like there's no such thing as a wedding pie, I guess.
Well, their thing was that they paid like $35 or something for the fake cake, and it would have cost them $200 for the five-tier, you know, wedding cake or whatever that they wanted. So they bought the fake cake, and then they had just sheet cake in the back. You know, regular old sheet. Because, you know, if you watch those big cake maker guys on TV when they make the huge cakes, that no one eats those cakes. They show them, they bring them out, and they show them to all the people at the convention, and then they just have sheet cake in the back that they chop up. Because the cake that's out there being shown to everybody, they made that thing like a week ago, and they've spent a week, you know, it might as well just be fake, really.
It was actually 3D printed.
Yeah, it's a 3D printed cake.
It's a 3D printed cake.
But that's my point. No one's eating that cake, then why do you even need to make it out of cake? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just saying, isn't that, you're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And it's made out of cake. Yeah, it's made out of 10-day-old stale cake. So what's, it might as well be made out of cardboard, right? I mean, do you get as much credit for making a cake that's elaborate and cool, but can't be eaten? Shouldn't that take away a little bit of the credit?
I didn't get to eat my wedding cake.
Well.
We fed each other a little bit in the beginning,
and that was it.
Yeah, everybody ate our cake, and then they ate the whole thing, and then we didn't have anything to save after.
But
so didn't the caterer
bring you, because you should get the first slices. The caterer should make sure that you get slices.
I didn't have a caterer. We got catered by a barbecue joint.
Somebody sliced up the cake, right, and put it on plates, or was it self-serve? Everybody just came at it with a fork.
We actually put it in the middle of the dance
like zombies. They just all came on top of the whole crowd. Just like there's an overhead aerial shot of everyone just swarming in on top of the cake.
We just put the cake in the middle of the dance floor and just, you know, let everybody line up around it. And then we just, you know, we played some death metal and they all rushed at the cake. It was pretty nice. It was really sweet. You know, it was a nice new family tradition.
Your wedding was catered by a barbecue joint.
No, my wedding was catered by Master Blaster from Thunderdome. So that was why.
Master Blaster from Thunderdome. I'm not sure where that reference comes from, but okay.
I'm just thinking of everybody in a metal cage just fighting each other over cake, you know. Look, so my brain makes weird
Two men
leaps,
enter,
man.
One man leaves.
We've been doing this for, what, 3 years? Yeah. Like, we're, you know, like, there's just, you don't know what's going to happen.
I wish more people would have, like, you know, because I've been to those weddings where, oh, we had a barbecue place cater it. And I'm like, oh, this food is so much better than the normal wedding food that you get. That you get, you know, just some barbecue and some beans and potato salad. This is great. And normally it's like, every once in a while you get that really good food. Like I just did a wedding last week and the chicken was really good and it was just an excellent plate. And I actually got to eat, which was great. Yeah. But it's a hit or miss. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, well, I think we had a great barbecue joint called Four Rivers in town here. It's all over Florida now. Cater our wedding. But it was actually really hard to find a place that would let us bring in our own catering. Most of the venues were tied up with caterers, and you had to pick from one or two of their caterers.
That's how they make their money.
You know how you, you know how you know, you're like, man, I wish I could make this at home. This would be so great, like the food that's so good. Well, we had enough left over where we were sitting around our house for quite a while. And let me tell you, I don't care how much you like a food, you can get real sick of it if you've got 14 trays of it.
Yes.
Sitting in your fridge, like, we really have to eat these baked beans. I'm like, again? Yeah. You gotta eat them again?
Yeah.
Baked beans for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah, we had about 7 gallons of baked beans left over. Of course, we didn't have any brisket or pulled pork. No. All we had the...
Well, yeah, listen, I don't even do that. Every time we eat, they're like, okay, well, you know, the leftovers, let's go ahead and get these in a container. I'm like, why? So we can put them in the refrigerator and then 2 weeks from now throw them out? Because no one's going to eat the leftovers. No one ever eats leftovers in my house.
Because I prefer to throw stuff away later. That's why.
You know, just throw it out now. Leftovers like really? You're going to throw this out? Yes, because I'm going to throw it out later. So you might as well throw it out now.
Nah, we got leftovers for days. Yeah, we cook. Julie's been meal planning. This is a thing. She's planning meals. Have you been? So she like buys the appropriate amount of groceries for the things that she wants to make. She writes them down on actual paper. It's insanity.
Like some sort of a caveman.
Yeah, like we're living in the 19th century writing things down. But man, we always have leftovers. We're big leftover people.
So I tell you what's cool if you go to Publix.
You can send me yours.
Is Publix has that case every week where there's a menu card and a recipe, and then there's a case right there that has everything that you need to make that thing in the case.
Yes.
So you just walk up and you grab the thing, and it's like, what is it, chicken Florentine with broccoli and rolls? And then right there in the case is everything you need. You just grab everything you need right there and throw it in the basket, and now you can make that entire meal right there. You don't have to run around and get the stuff.
That's how you survive college.
Yeah. Well, it's ramen.
Or being single, anyway.
Yeah, it's ramen noodles in college. So there's rumors about Canon out this week, and the latest rumors are that the there will be no new DSLR this year if you're a Canon shooter. But there, other than that, there may be some shakeups in the EOS 80D 70 Mark II Duo, which is their best APS-C crop sensor lineup. They're saying that, and two more cameras. They say that it's going to split into three cameras, maybe. So the ES, so if you use a 70 Mark II, the 70 Mark III may be coming soon. And then they're going to come out with two other cameras in the double digit line, one of them called the 90D. There will be crop sensor cameras. So I know a lot of people, because I'm a 5D Mark III user, and so are you. But a lot of people use the 7D and the 6D. So the 70 Mark III may be coming down the pike.
That's a lot of people when they first get into, you know, serious DSLR photography. They'll go right to those models, the 7D.
Well, I think if you're like a portrait guy, you know, I don't think you need the 5D.
No, I mean, if
you don't need full frame. If you're not shooting low light, you really don't need full frame. You can, you know, not with the technology today.
Yeah, no, probably not. But it doesn't. Yeah, in the studio, it's near enough as makes no difference. But the this is very not exciting news for me. Although I'm always standing on the edge of a knife, waiting for the next big thing to come out from Canon.
Well, I feel like there hasn't been anything in a while, and that's what's disappointing for me. And that's why I've spent so much more time reading and researching and having fun with my Fuji camera, because it's a new model, and I had a new model from Fuji 2 years ago. But I've been using a Mark III that I've been using now for 4 years, 5 years.
You know, there's a Mark IV, right?
But I didn't feel like it was worth the step up. The Mark II to Mark III was substantial, especially in focusing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
But the Mark III to Mark IV, I just didn't think was substantial enough to make that move. And, you know, so I didn't make the jump. I want something substantial. Come on, Canon. Wow me.
I think that's the thing is, though, I'd rather them wait and come out with something that's going to be really exactly what everybody wants than just arbitrarily. Because how can you win if you're Canon? You put out something with some solid upgrades that's not blowing the industry away, and then people complain about that it's not revolutionary enough. And then you come out with one, you know, or you can wait longer, come out with something that really is very, very different, like they did with the 5D and the 5D Mark II, something that changes things substantially. You know, that was... I feel like you can't win. If you want to go into a business where you're gonna, where everybody's gonna hate everything you do, make Star Wars movies or cameras. Either way, one of those things, everybody will absolutely hate you. I've never known a group of people like photographers to hate something so much that they love. Like, what a bunch of complainers! Like,
on the list of useless things that we certainly don't need, did you see that someone's come out with an adapter now that allows you to put any DSLR lens on your phone?
Oh, no, I have not.
It's a big, it's like a big tray that your phone goes into, and then with an adapter built onto it for the lens. And when you see a picture of what this looks like, it's just ridiculous. It's like, you know, this giant lens on this flat little wafer of a phone. And why in a million years would you need that? Why would, if you're going to carry that big lens, why would you just have a camera attached to it?
Let's see, packing for my trip to Tuscany, I'm going to bring, here are my 6 or 7 L-series lenses, and you know what, I'm going to leave the body at home. Put the big the modifier in, and I'll throw in my phone. We'll just take everything with my phone.
I don't know. I can see maybe for travel, so maybe I just want to carry, you know, the 70 to 200 and be able to attach it to my phone, but I don't want to carry a camera, which means I got to carry batteries, which means I have to carry cards, which means I have to, you know, I don't want to carry all that, but I can just carry just this lens. And then I have the option if I wanted to, but I also have to, wait, the lens and the big tray thing. The big tray thing, the adapter thing is probably as big as a camera. So you might as well just carry the camera. But, you know, these companies that make these things, how do they survive? Where do they get the money? Is it Kickstarter? Because it's not, no one's going to buy this.
I don't know.
You got to sell 100,000 of something to make any money at it.
I couldn't tell you except to say that they didn't really. They probably just didn't ask anybody if they thought it was a good idea. They probably just made it. Because if you'd have just asked a photographer, they'd have gone, no, that's dumb.
Well, I'm just not sure who it's for. Because if you're a person who owns these lenses, then you already own a good camera. And if you're a camera, if you're a phone owner who doesn't own these lenses, there's no way you're going to go out and buy these expensive lenses to be able to attach them to your phone because you don't want to be a photographer. You don't want to do that. That's why you take pictures with your phone. You see what I'm saying? There's two distinctive classes there, and I don't see where the two cross. You know, not to mention that you also still don't have a flash. No flash. Sorry. So you're putting a $2,000 lens on your phone, but you don't have no flash.
There's an LED thing on there somewhere. Like there's a little, you know.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be. I think that's blocked by the adapter.
you don't even get that anymore.
No.
Well, yeah, that's pretty dumb. Yeah. I can't see. But you know, sometimes you try to see past something, and you go like, "Oh, there's a reason they made that because that technology is going to no. Like not worth it. What a waste of time. But anyway, so I just ordered one, and I'll let you know. I'll let you know how it goes.
Did you see that? What was it? I forgot what I was about to say. Oh, yeah. Instagram is adding a portrait mode.
I did. I saw that in the in the Instagram stories. Whenever they say there's anything new shows up at the top, I'm always like, I want to know what the new feature is. Because I've been having a lot of fun. They recently added a stop motion feature into Instagram stories, which is really cool.
Okay.
So you can do really stop. So I'm always like try to catch up and see what they're doing. But I did notice that. And it also does it for video. It's not just stills. So it will add that depth of field and keep that that simulated shallow depth of field in video as well as stills.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it with a passion, like a white-hot passion. I hate it. I do. I hate it with a white – because it's awful. Because it's all computer-generated. It's never clean. It's always bad, bad cutout. You know, but what worries me is that – like the crappy filters that Instagram and all first came out with, what worries me is that soon a new generation will think that this is what bokeh is supposed to look like.
White, hot, passion.
Yeah, I hate it.
a white hot pack, like yes. a white hot pack. Not like
I hate it.
Oh man, that really bugs me.
A
like
white, no, white I, hot no, pack. I because to me it's a trend that is just going to crush us because it's just stop trying to make stop trying to make something that takes optics to produce. Stop trying to reproduce it with software.
Well,
because it never looks right. It never looks good. It never looks right. But if you get everybody using that, eventually that will become the new standard, and this wonderful optic look that we've had for years will disappear.
It's funny that you say that, too, because I had a photographer friend of mine contact me through Facebook this week, send me a message, and be like, hey, I've got a client who isn't happy with her headshots, and can you take a look at them and tell me what you think? And then he said that she wants to sit down with him and edit the images and add some filters. Like, and the picture, the woman in the picture is probably about 24, 25 years old. Yeah.
Anger rising.
Easy, easy, big fella.
Mr. Furious. Over here. You want to sit down with me and add some filters?
Yeah, yeah. Can you believe it?
Mm.
Yeah.
No.
But first of all, it's like if you got filters that you like, you can always add them yourself later. You want me to sit with you and okay adding Instagram filters while I sit with you? You can go straight to hell.
I had a bride do that. I had a bride do that with one of my pictures of her coming down the aisle, and it was dead middle of the day on the beach, and so it was probably at F11, you know, and she just decided that it would look better if everything was blurry besides her. And so she did a thing where everything was blurry besides her. The stuff in front, the stuff beside her, the stuff behind. It was just everything was blurry except for her. And it was just awful.
Did it look as awesome as it sounds?
Oh my God, it was just awful. And you know, so obviously a bad Photoshop job. And yet she likes it, you know, and her friends probably like it. And I worry about the future of photography because I feel like, I feel like it's going in two directions. It's like it's splitting in the middle, and it's going to the crap filter end where a lot of the stuff is, and then the other end is the high-end model shoot with a graphic artist who is unbelievable, who makes it look like a movie poster end. And the middle, which is just good photography, is going to be what's going to be hurt by these two because people are going to want one or the other. They're going to either be like, cell phone pictures are just fine, or they're going to be like, make me look like Tom Cruise on a movie poster. You know, and nothing in the middle.
Grandma, I am not going to make you look like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. You know what I mean, though? I feel like it's two directions. It's no, you know, I feel like sometimes it's not going to be enough just to be a really good, competent, professional photographer anymore. You've got to be an amazing photographer, you know, because to get that small market that wants a photographer, they want an amazing photographer. And then everybody else is just fine with a picture from their phone.
Were you bordering on white hot passion there?
There's a little passion.
Yeah, man. So
I don't know. I say that, and then, you know, you get calls and stuff from people who are like, oh, I'm coming to you because I looked at everyone's work, and wow, there's some bad work out there. And you're like, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was just the thought. The thought was just formulating in my mind to say that a lot of it has to do with where you get your clients from. If you're getting a lot of clients and having a lot of problems, you can probably – you're either – your intake process needs some tweaking or you are getting your clients from the wrong place.
Right.
Like it is possible to be marketing your business successfully and bringing people into your business through your efforts but them being the wrong people. Like it is possible to bring the wrong clients into your business.
Sure.
And so that happens a lot. And it takes time, I think, in a business to get to the point where – you're not just a commodity to them or people come to you because they specifically like the work that you do rather than I'm just looking for somebody to do this. Yeah. And I work in the commodity world a lot where they don't care who shows up and they don't care what the pictures look like. They just want to cover their event as long as they're in focus and they've got pictures for their newsletter. They don't really care.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you've got that your style, your wedding, it's really clean, right, you know, great standard pro awesome work that really stands out because it's not overly stylized with filters and it's not overly crunchy. It's just really great, solid wedding photography that every picture from the whole wedding is a good picture rather than, hey, I got a great picture in a field that's really epic and it's all yellow and dewy and then the pictures of the reception all suck.
I had something happen the other day that cracks me up. Someone booked me via email. It's a destination. And they booked me, and they sent me the deposit, and I'm like, okay, we're good to go. And then she emailed me, and she said, hey, can you send me some examples of some weddings that you've shot?
You are kidding.
And she had never – no, she She was recommended. The hotel that she's staying at recommended me. And she called me, she contacted me and booked me and never looked at my work. Sent me a deposit and had not looked at my work.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So I said, yeah. I'm like, well, here you go. And I sent her, here's one of the last weddings I did. And she was like, oh, yeah, that all looks great. Okay, thanks.
Oh, good. I was like, oh, good. So I won't have to ask you for my money
not
back.
Not a whole lot Fantastic. Of expectations here, apparently. Yeah. Okay, great. Good to know, you know. I'm like,
hey,
all right.
We are, we've got some cool stuff coming up, but I wanted to mention that just coming up in the next couple of weeks, I will be at Adorama in New York City and doing a class for Canon, and they are going to be broadcasting that live onto interwebs. And so I will post a link on the Facebook page to where you can sign up to watch that for free. And I hope everybody just go out there and sign up. You don't have to watch it. Just go register. I just want them to think I'm doing a really good job bringing people to the class. So help a brother out. Follow the link. And if you want, tune in. I'll be doing the whole thing with speed lights. So it should be really fun.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm about done here. Do you have anything you need to add besides that?
I'm gonna be doing a 2-day marketing class at Florida Photography Workshops, and you know what? You don't even have to be a photographer to come to this thing. It's gonna be like content creation, how to pick social media platforms. It's gonna be really hands on, a lot of live stuff. It's gonna be really cool, and you can sign up for that at FloridaPhotographyWorkshops.org, I think. FloridaPhotographyWorkshops.org.
All right, I'm taking the year off. I haven't been doing anything this year, so this is weird. The first time in the history of our podcast, every time at the end of the show, we talk about all the stuff that's coming up, you're always like, I'm doing this and this and this, and I'm like, okay, I got nothing.
And good for you.
I'm not going to overload like you are. You know, I've got other stuff I'm doing, like, you know, like PPA stuff, or I got to be on this committee or that committee, and I'm like, that's enough traveling, I think, for the year.
I've taken on
not that
lot,
I wouldn't
like,
go, by the way.
Like
if someone wants
much.
To book me, I'm happy to go. Contact me and I'll go. I'm just not out there beating the bushes.
Yeah, I've taken on definitely too much. 2019 is going to be a much slower year for me in speaking.
See, that was it. Last year I spoke like, I don't know, maybe 8 times, 10 times, plus spoke at the convention, you know, and had to fly to Atlanta a couple of times for stuff, and then IPC Live, and so I was, it was pretty busy. Oh, by the
it's
way, IPC Live is on for this year.
I heard.
Yeah, IPC Live will be on this year. We didn't know for sure if we'd be doing IPC Live this year, and we are going to be doing it. So we're very excited about that.
You're back, baby.
Yeah. So we will be back. Hopefully, this may be our last year, but we're going to blow it out and do the best we can, and hopefully if we can get enough people, you've got to watch IPC Live. We're gonna do a lot of critiques this year. We're gonna do a lot of image stuff, looking at images and talking about images. I think that's what people like the most. And we're going to try to do a lot of that. And we've got to get you people who are competing to watch IPC Live and to share it on Facebook and to talk about it so that we can keep this thing going every year. Because I think it's a great educational tool for people who are trying to compete to be able to see the judges actually pick apart an image right there on camera.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, that's going to be a live broadcast where Bure is the host, running alongside of the International Photographic Competition. While that's going on, Bure has a great show, and it's a really, if you don't know much about, you know, professional image competition, this is a great way to get plugged in. And I might I say, you're a fine damn presenter, sir. A fine presenter.
Okay.
Yeah. I dig it.
I do what I can.
I'm so glad it's coming back.
Yeah, it's a skill set. It's a skill set I possess. I don't have I'm not really great at anything else, but I do have that skill set. If you're like, okay, you're on. And then, you know, you've got to talk for 10 minutes. I can do that. Rich did it to me last year. We were doing the Aegea Awards, and I'm hosting the Aegea Awards. I'm just the voice on the microphone. I wasn't on stage or anything. I was sitting off to the side talking, and we had to announce, and we was like, okay, and now the bronze award winners will come up on stage. And so some of them came up, and then there was some sort of a snafu at the stage, and the line stopped for a minute, and I've got an earpiece in. And the director is talking to Rich, and he's like, and she's like, okay, what's going on? There's nobody on stage. And Rich goes, yeah, okay, we've got a problem over here. Bure, Phil. I'm like, Phil?
So where are you guys from?
Yeah, well, everybody... I mean, it's not like I'm not even on stage. I'm just a disembodied voice in the auditorium. What am I supposed to be like? So, you know, my arms are really tired from flying here. What am I supposed to do to Phil? How am I supposed to Phil?
You clearly would just start singing.
Well, you would just never hear that, like at the Oscars, the guy who does the voiceovers, you would never, he would never just suddenly start talking about, you know, he only says very little, you know, snip, and here's Tom Cruise. That's what he does.
And I see that Mel Gibson is back in the front row.
Yeah,
so
he wouldn't say that. That's
happening.
That's what the guy on stage does, and we didn't have a guy on stage. So
we've had Susan Sarandon is backstage with a wardrobe malfunction. I'm Bure Perry.
And that's what I did. That's what I did. I said, well, we're having some technical difficulties getting everybody on stage, but they'll be up there in just a few minutes. That's all you have to do if you want to be a presenter or host a show like IPC Live. All you have to do is just say out loud what you're thinking.
Yeah. Well, and that probably wouldn't work for me.
Well, no. No, there have been many times there's been censorship involved with you, but no.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. That was that when at last IPC Live, it was like, I remember you were flying in and it wasn't for sure if you were going to make the opening segment. So Rich goes, because I was there judging, and Rich goes, Gary, we're gonna let's pre-record a segment with me. And then if Bure's late, we'll just use the segment that you and I pre-recorded. And then we went and we recorded the segment, and he goes, yeah, we can't use that. Because I believe I actually used the phrase douche canoe.
Yes, you did. You did several times, though, not just once, like three times. You used the phrase douche.
It's like you can't say douche.
No.
You can say canoe, but you can't say douche canoe.
I don't even know what that is.
Stuff just is in my brain. And look, I'm working on it. You know, I'm trying to be more responsible person and. You know, no, I'm not. I don't care. Yeah. Like, so fine.
What was I read a thing in like Business Insider where they were talking to the cruise ship guy, one of the cruise ship guys, about millennials and marketing to millennials. And he said that it's a misconception that millennials have to be marketed to differently throughout their entire lives. When they're millennials, and it's like, well, millennials like they don't mind paying more money for something that's luxury, and they want the experience. They're more prone to pay for something that's an experience. He goes, yes. Once they have kids, they're just like any other dad we've ever had. He goes, once they have kids, they're just another dad, and we market to them the same way we marketed to dads for the last 50 years, because once you've got the kids, I'm a millennial, I'm Generation X. No, now you're a dad. You're just like your dad was and your dad's dad before. Once you become a dad, you're just, now it's dad life.
Does that mean I have to start wearing a lot of polyester?
Maybe.
My dad wore a lot of polyester.
Maybe. I'm just saying, but what's important to you shifts, because now everything gets filtered through your kids.
Yeah, you're not like, man, I only eat locally sourced organics. Like, we're going through the McDonald's drive-thru, everybody shut up.
Right, exactly. You know, and also like with a trip with me anyway, if before the kids, you're like, okay, this trip, I want it to be just right for me. And now when I go on a trip, it's like, as long as it's good for the kids, I don't care what we're doing. You know, I want the kids.
As long as they're entertained enough to leave me alone, it's worth paying
for. Yeah, yeah. If they're happy enough to where I can have a beer at the end of the day and not have them complaining, that's my vacation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really all I need. All right, you can find us online at facebook.com/photobombpodcast. You can find our website at photobombpodcast.com. You can find Gary at hughesfioretti.com.
Yep.
You can find me at bureperry.com, and you can email us questions at photobombpodcast.com. We will see you back here next week.
All right, see you later.